Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Valero said today's show is going to be a banger.
I don't know what it means, but I'm excited.
Me too. That's how you start the week. With a banger. It is NFL Draft Week. We always do Draft Week, I believe, better than any radio show in South Florida because we bring you draft stories, like personal stories from the people that have gone through it. So
going on for years. I'll tell you something. 32 people are getting picked in the first day, but we do it better.
We do it better. Gino Toretta is going to join us today. Josh Booty is going to join us today. Like, we're going to talk draft with people that may have had draft disappointments, i.e. Gino.
I.e. me.
I.e. you. Although yours is a weird one. I told you that on Friday.
It's sad.
Because Valero, you know, he went on the first day of the draft. Back when he was drafted, you know, the first three rounds. Was it by time or was it just rounds? I don't even know.
It was rounds.
He went on the first day of the draft. Like, he's always disappointed on draft day, but I'm always like, you know what? You went in the third round. Like, I have Gino was a Heisman Trophy winner. And went in the seventh round.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know, though, if he expected to go higher or not. I'm going to ask him today. The years that we've talked to him, I don't know if I've ever asked him that. We'll find out today.
Guaranteed, yes.
That he expected to go higher?
College football just told you you're the best college football player in the nation.
Right.
That's what the Heisman is.
Right.
And there's over 200 people that are better than college football.
But he must have been one of those guys where they said he doesn't have, what, a pro skill set?
Yes.
I don't remember the entire story, but anyway, we'll hear hopefully from him today, depending on how forthcoming he feels like being. But we'll do our NFL Draft Week. We'll bring Brady Quinn on this week. He's obviously got weird memories of the draft because he was the guy. You know, there's always the one guy in the green room that's
then
not
he
getting
wasn't
picked.
The guy.
And then, right, yeah.
My memory is Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I remember those two guys.
Brady and
around.
Aaron Rodgers are indelibly etched in football fans' memories because it was painful. It was painful to watch. And had they had a camera on you,
they would have arrested me.
It would have.
If you said a camera followed me around draft night?
Like, yes.
They would have arrested me. They had to have. I'm not going to tell the full story of why they should have, but they should have.
I was looking more for the emotional side rather than the criminal side.
Well, you know, emotion and criminal, just they run hand in hand.
Is NFL Draft Week, is this a weird one for Dolphins fans? Because think about last year, and I'm not even certain what the answer is. Did we think we were a selection away, though, from being a playoff team? And we had been to the playoffs the first season of Adam Gase.
Yeah.
And then we figured Ryan Tannehill is going to be healthy and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Gase would be going into season three. So I'm guessing last year's draft, we felt like we were probably a piece away.
Yes.
Right? We were going to have a healthy, good quarterback. The team back together that went to the playoffs, you know, a couple seasons prior.
Tannehill comes back to, and let's not forget where he was when he got injured when Calais Campbell ripped his knee up 2016. He was having his best season ever. You get a healthy Tannehill back that's going to break through that ceiling now. And
you've got all the other pieces that you went to the playoffs with.
Number 11 pick. You have your skill positions. Frank Gore's there. Kenyon Drake's in the backfield. You still believe in Kenny and Jakeem. Yes, I'm with you. It is a total different feeling going in
right,
this year.
Because this one, we are very aware that how many times can you say this in an NFL draft? We are very aware the Dolphins' fortunes will not change on Thursday.
It's the worst thing to say going into a draft. That's
right?
What the draft is created for.
On hope. I mean, that is what the draft peddles, right?
Yes.
Hope. We are going into Thursday, I believe, unless something surprising happens, like, what if Dwayne Haskins is available 13? And we've talked about this before, and I'll read you something from Dave Hyde later on in today's program that he wrote in the Sun Sentinel about the Dolphins. If there's a quarterback available, you need to take him. period, end of story. I don't care about 2020. But I think for the most part, we're going into Thursday going, yeah, we're going to stink this year. There's no hope.
Because if we get Dwayne Haskins 13, then we still have no right tackle and no left guard, and we have no defensive tackles that can play in this system.
And so you would imagine he's not even going to play. You would imagine that he's going to get a year's worth of tutelage under Ryan Fitzpatrick,
and
or a half season at least.
But that doesn't give you excitement. Yeah, we're developing the quarterback for the future. You still got 16 games to play 2019.
That's what I'm telling you. This is a weird one, right? Where you go into a draft, the draft is built on hope.
Yep.
Right? Because the worst team in the league, Arizona, this is 2 years that they're going to take quarterback. What, they have a 10th pick last year?
They traded up right in front of the Dolphins to get Josh Rosen.
15th and jumped to 10
to
get Rosen.
So they're the worst team in the league. They're going to have the number one pick. They're peddling in hope, right? If it's Kyler Murray, although I'm starting to read stuff now that maybe it's not Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So this is perfect draft week stuff.
I was going to say that always happens. This is when you do your due diligence, but you're talking about 4 or 5 days before, you got to start lying.
Well, here's what it says on Yahoo Sports. NFL draft rumors, Cardinals will not take Kyler Murray with the number one pick, originally appeared on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Ever since Arizona Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury as their new coach, rumors have swirled, blah, blah, blah. But with the draft 5 days away, it now appears the Cardinals might look to go in a different direction at number one, according to Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, who we have on the show occasionally. Initially, the ownership pushed for Kyler Murray. Prisco recently said on CBS Sports HQ, that much I know. I was told that. The reason they did is they're having a hard time selling tickets. Well, they put it out there. Arizona was lukewarm to it. All of a sudden, they're pulling back. And from what I've been told, they're going to go in a different direction. They are not going to draft Kyler Murray. So now, I don't know what happens here. Arizona maybe puts that out there so that teams now think that that number one pick is really in play for a trade. If there's somebody that covets a quarterback, they go, wow, Arizona would really be willing to move, and I got to get that pick before the Giants do. So now I'm coming with the house to Arizona. I don't know. Again, there's going to be some surprises, I believe, on Thursday, but Pete Prisco is flat out saying they are not going to draft Kyler Murray.
From that side, if that's true, they could get a king's ransom for the first round pick this year.
You'd think, right?
You can get two ones.
Because if you can't get that for Josh Rosen.
No.
So you've got two quarterbacks, essentially. You've got Kyler Murray and you've got Josh Rosen. So if you're not getting what you want for Josh Rosen and you can get a king's ransom, like you say, for Kyler Murray, maybe you do make that move.
I was watching this morning. They say that they can draft Kyler Murray in the first round, and they can push Josh Rosen day three because he's going to grab a third and a fourth or a third and a fifth or just a third and a seventh, where you can have Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen on your roster for 2 days and then move Josh Rosen later in the draft because that's what he's going to pull. If you get that first pick, if one of those teams, let's say the Giants say, we want to get Kyler Murray, period. They would give up this first. They'd switch this year.
Right.
And give up next year.
I agree.
Two ones.
I agree.
Because that's what all the Jared Goffs, the RG3s, if you go back and look at what they pulled, it was two ones and a two and a three. But there was always two ones attached. If Arizona jumps out of number one slot, they can get that team's first round pick this season and the first round next season.
And another thing, too, that I was reading all day today, on Adam Schefter's podcast this morning, he says there are three teams in talks with Arizona for Josh Rosen, the Dolphins being one of them.
Hmm.
He says the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Chargers are the front runners for the Josh Rosen sweepstakes. Now, if that happens, are Dolphins fans excited? If you get Josh Rosen, who you wanted last season, we all wanted him, I think, right?
Yes.
So I kind of put the first season with Arizona out of my mind because I don't think it's a fair it's a fair sample of what he could be.
It's not. It's Jared Goff and Jeff Fisher, the Rams that first year, where I was, remember, and I'll be honest, I don't lie about it. I thought Jared Goff was an airhead nobody when he had Jeff Fisher as his head coach.
We watched him on Hard Knocks. He seemed like an airhead.
He wasn't good. He had, what, five touchdowns, seven interceptions, something dumb his rookie year. I thought he was a bust, and then last year he comes back and goes to the Super Bowl. So can Rosen be Goff? with a new system, with a new regime, with a new team, or just a new head coach in Cliff Kingsbury? Like, does Rosen have the ability to do what Jared Goff did?
Because if, let's say, the Dolphins work a trade and they get Josh Rosen, now maybe they're giving up their number one pick at 13. I don't know. I don't know what the machinations would be. If they get Rosen and they keep their number one pick, then maybe you are peddling in hope on Thursday.
Yeah.
But why would you sign Ryan Fitzpatrick? Now, I understand Josh Rosen is still a bargain. I don't know.
Why would you sign Fitzpatrick and then bring Rosen in?
Yeah.
To have your vet there. Someone that can help Rosen develop.
But then that means you're not really going after Tua or Fromm. Because then you would have had three quarterbacks in the course of two seasons.
But Fitzpatrick is a one-year guy. We know it. He knows it. They didn't have a press conference for it. We talked about it on the show a lot. What if you have Fitzpatrick already? He's there, 2 years, $11 million. You bring in Rosen to see what happens, see if he can develop.
But you're not, if you're not really giving him a lot of playing time because you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, then you're kind of waiting a year to get Rosen active. I don't know what the play would be there.
If they acquire Josh Rosen through a trade, if it's a first rounder, I'm going to be upset.
You would definitely be upset?
First rounder?
Because you wanted to take him in the first round last year at a higher first round pick. It was 11 last year, right?
And we let them sacrifice. We let them date the big girl and then she lost weight and we can get the skinny version of her. You can't put another first rounder into him. If it's a third rounder, which I've heard, it's like when I walk in here with aloe vera juice, and you're like, why do you have aloe juice? And I tell you, it was two for one. I can't pass up on a deal. If Josh Rosen goes for a third or lower, I cannot pass up on that.
But if Chris Greer, who's been in charge of the draft and is even more so this year, if he thought Josh Rosen was worthy of a number 11 pick, we don't know if they were going to take him number 11 last year, but if he thought he was worthy of the 11 last year, he'd be worthy of the 13 this year, no?
But it's a year later.
I understand, which I think is a positive.
I think it's a negative, but I hope it's a negative because with what the Cardinals did last year with him at the helm, they were terrible. So now there's some doubt involved. Him coming out of UCLA, there was no doubt in Rosen. It was he could be great, or you know, some people were hot and cold on him. Now I think everybody's lukewarm. Lukewarm isn't a first round trade. Lukewarm's a third round pick. Hopefully we can capitalize on a terrible Arizona roster and find a guy that could be Jared Goff.
Well, it is draft week. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, is scheduled to join us next week and ask him about what quarterback he thinks is the best coming out of the draft. You know, he covers college football with Touchdown Radio. Ask him his draft stories. We can ask him, too, if he knows anything about the Canes scrimmage up in Orlando. A lot of stuff to get to. This is going to be a fun week. As Falero called it, this week is a banger. Gino Toretta is going to join us next.
Radio.com.
I thought only bangers today.
It's going to be a banger week. I mean, and this is a banger.
This is a banger.
Is it?
Man. I think I made my daughter this song.
Goiter. This is Goiter?
No, Goite.
Right, Goitier.
Goiter?
Goiter.
Isn't that the thing that dangles from the back of your throat?
No, it's like, I think a goiter is like a cyst, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a big cyst.
When the dude's got a big ball in their neck?
Yes, that's a goiter.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, this is draft week. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. The former Heisman Trophy winner, Gino Toretta, is on the line. A college football Hall of Famer. He lives in the Heisman house. I don't know if people know that, but he lives there 52 weeks a year.
They have a bathroom or he shares one? Jack and Jill.
Now, he shares one with... trying to think of
Trent Richardson. Did he win it all? I don't know.
Hold on. Gino, did Trent Richardson win a Heisman Trophy?
No, Mark Ingram did.
Mark
there
Ingram.
You go, Mark Ingram.
You share a bathroom? Is he your suite mate at the Heisman house?
I was trying to wake up. I thought I got on the elevator at floor 32, was heading down to the bottom with that music.
That's what I was saying. I thought we were going for bangers today.
Falero's going to cause some accidents on the drive on 95 north out of downtown Miami.
You guys are wrong on this, man. Everybody likes that song.
Nah, but it's not like an upbeat draft week song.
Of course it is.
After you've had 25 rum runners and you're on a lounge chair thinking, I'm going to take a little quick siesta.
Now, Gino Toretta, again, Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Famer, but a seventh-round draft pick in the 93 draft. I was asking this of Crowder earlier. Were you projected to be, sixth, seventh round, or did you think you were going higher?
Well, obviously, I thought I was going higher when you win the Heisman Trophy and every other freaking award that you
not that you're still angry.
not that I don't have still Keystone Bitter Beer face over it or anything.
So did someone tell, like, Crowder's got his story. He was told by Mel Kiper, you are going first round.
Yes.
You will not go later than number 20, Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers, number 20, is the latest Crowder's going, and I ate it up.
And he ate it up. He took out $1 million credit line. He spent some of it, and then all of a sudden he went, middle of the third round, late in the third round?
Early in the third round.
It
was like 70, and I thought I was going 20, and that money dropped.
And was very disappointing for him. So what did someone tell you where you thought you were going to go?
So my draft was the first year of unfettered free agency in the NFL. That was the new collective bargaining agreement. So you had, where in the past, the NFL, you couldn't move teams, right? So it was the first year where players had moved teams, meaning Scott Mitchell went from the Dolphins as a backup to a $20 million quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Where in the past, your only way to get players was to secure them through the draft. So nobody really knew in the first year. They're like, well, I heard things, well, we're not investing in quarterbacks because, these guys are just going to learn behind somebody else and then go take big money, once we teach them the ropes and things like that. So I had no idea. I mean, they said, between like from the third round on, but like my draft, so for example, Drew Bledsoe was the first pick. Rick Meyer was the second pick in quarterback. The next quarterback taken was the third round, Billy Joe Hobert. The fifth round was Mark Brunell. I was the fifth quarterback taken in the seventh round.
Wow.
And then after me was Trent Green, Elvis Gerbach, and the Pitt kid. God, I can see him. Alex Smith. No,
it could have been Alex Smith.
No, it's not Alex Smith. He played at Pitt for when I was in school. But
look it up, Falero, 1993 quarterback.
Dan Marino.
different guy out of Pitt.
Break all Dan Marino's records. Dan was not happy about it because they didn't win many games when he was there. But it was kind of crazy. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the end of that draft. I mean, Trent Green played 10, 12 years. I mean, we had both got released after our rookie season. We worked out for the Steelers together a couple times. I mean, it's kind of, crazy situation looking back at the draft.
Van Pelt? Alex Van Pelt?
Alex Van Pelt. There you go. I couldn't think of the last name. I knew it was Alex.
Hey, Gino, because I tell the story and the listener hear the story about 60 times this week, but my initial thought was I'm going 20. I got a bunch of my homeboys together. We got in my big Hummer. We had a cooler full of beer. We had a bunch of bottles of Hennessy. We were going to go down on the in front of Lake Rodman Dam. It's in Palatka, Florida. We were going to drink beer. We were going to take shots. I was going to get a call from Green Bay at 20. I was going to get drafted high, make $8 million, and it was going to be done. I got drafted in the third round about 8:30. So my thought was sitting on the fishing bank with my homeboys, drinking beer and getting drafted. I end up getting drafted sitting in the living room by myself because I told all my friends and family to leave because I was so frustrated. Did you have that time with your draft story where there was one way you wanted it to happen and it happened a totally different way?
Well, seeing as the seventh round, I don't know, it was the second day of the draft or the third day of the draft, but everybody had to go home because there was a few
Hey, y'all have to go. There's no room.
No, I mean, I was home in California with my family, and not. I mean, I really wasn't. I was like, you know, it's wherever it happens, it happens. You know, and you know, I was just hoping, basically, to get to a team where you know you're going to get an opportunity to show what you can do. You know, that I think is, I mean, critical, especially from the quarterback position. It's like if they don't, and you know, Channing, if they don't invest in you, the opportunity, you know, a lot of times doesn't come to a guy. It doesn't matter how good he is.
Yeah. Gino Toretta is with us. So, you know, and I asked this of Crowder, and for him, to me, it's so weird. This is the culmination of a lifelong dream, right? I mean, you worked your ass off since you were a kid. You won the Heisman, and you do get drafted. But for Crowder, it was a disappointment. Draft day was a disappointment because he went a lot later than he thought he was going to go and didn't get the money he thought he was going to get. So when you think about draft day, do you think of disappointment? Or is it, yeah, no, that was the culmination of my dream?
Well, I was pissed. Yeah, hell yeah. You know, I mean, you know, like Chronic said, Channing said, you think you're going to, you know, hey, you're going to make some money, you know, have an opportunity to play a game, make a nice living. And then you're like, man, what, you know. Yeah, so it was, you know, disappointing to say the least. But, you know, then it's just, heck, it starts all over. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, when these high school superstars come in and they sign with UM, you go from, you know, being the cat's meow to being cat litter. And you got to figure it out, and you got to start showing your wares, you know, on a new level, and you go from there. It becomes a business very, very quickly, and you don't really understand that when you're in college. And guys, you know, I think guys enjoy the college experience a lot more because it's not, you know, you're not sitting in a locker next to a guy that's been in the league 10 years, that's got four kids, and his priorities are a little bit different than a rookie 20-something year old coming into the league.
So who calls you from Minnesota? Because we know for Crowder, it was Nick Saban with the Dolphins. And Crowder's like, yeah, I didn't even feel like talking to him. You know, he's like, hey, how would you like to come to Miami? He's like, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever.
It was Denny Green, head coach for the Vikings. And the crazy thing was, because I was in, you know, I mean, they'd said here are the teams that were interesting, you know, interested in you. And Minnesota was never one of them. And then they had called my apartment in Coconut Grove. And, you know, they're like, hey, he's not here. You got to call his house in California. But so, Denny Green called the.
And what does he say? Does he go, hey, Gino, we feel like we really got a steal with you because.
Yeah, he just said, we don't feel we can pass it. I mean, we don't really need a quarterback. And listen, I went to training camp my rookie year. Jim McMahon, Sean Salisbury, Rich Gannon, Brad Johnson, and myself. We had five quarterbacks in training camp. And Channing can tell you, I might have thrown about four or five passes in a drill with five guys.
So you ended up in a terrible spot.
Oh, a fifth stringer?
And the names that you mentioned before us all had NFL, careers.
It was like very, you know, no reps. They traded Gannon before the last preseason game. So that was the first game that I got into. But they said we're keeping four quarterbacks. So I was, you know, I'm like, okay, well, at least I got a job for my rookie year. But, yeah, he just said, you know, we can't, you know, we you know, you've been the best player on the board for the last few drafts, but we don't really know the quarterback, but, you know, we're not going to pass on you here. And, you know, a little bit upset because I was told by Michael Irvin, who was telling the Cowboys to draft me after the second round on, and they had the next pick. And they supposedly were, you know, Jimmy was gonna take me there. So that would have been nice to, you know, probably win a Super Bowl in the first year or two backing up Aikman.
Hey, Gino, you talk about, like, you know, at the time you're not understanding. And I was pissed. I was mad on draft. Like, going out that Saturday night, I wasn't excited. Like, my buddy's like, bro, you're a Miami Dolphin. I'm like, yeah, in the third round, lost out on millions. Like, it just wasn't the same feeling. But I know that my knee injuries, I had four ACL reconstructions in high school. So I knew something was, you know, I knew that was a knock. And then I got arrested a bunch in college. That was 100% my decision, Gino. I had an anger management problem. Do you know why you started dropping? Like, could you rationalize that as an older man?
I mean, they would say, you know, I wasn't, you know, I didn't run like a 4.6. I mean, listen, there's, you know, Brady's I don't know, 20 years into the league and never broke five. So, you know, I think it was just, you know, it was like feet speed and, you know, and then arm strength. And the crazy thing, I remember going to the All-Star games with Rick Meyer and the other quarterbacks from the East-West Shrine game. I'm like sitting there, I'm like, I don't see it. Now, listen, I've thrown, and I remember when Bledsoe and I, you know, were at the Super Bowl together, we went and played catch. And, I mean, I was like, dude, you need to take something off the ball. You're going to break my hands. You know, and I could see that. You know what I mean? But I was like, you know, my, you know, but no, it was crazy. I mean, I think Brunell probably threw for 40, 50,000 yards. I mean, he was a fifth-round pick and sat behind, you know, Favre for Green Bay for a bunch of years before the, you know, before the Jags got him. So it was just, I think it was kind of one of those times. And then you look at the guys that were playing back then. I mean, the quarterbacks playing then were, you know, some guy, Warren Moon, Marino, Elway, Steve Young, Joe Montana. I mean, you go down the list of, I'd probably say 30% of the quarterbacks in the league when I came out were probably on their way to the Hall of Fame. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was like timing. Couldn't have been worse, yeah. Right? And really, and if you had not ended up in Minnesota, everything could have been different. I mean, you can't do that now, no, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Let's say it's the next pick, and let's say it's Dallas. Okay, you're behind Aikman, who's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, maybe you're not going to get a chance to play, but you're going to get a chance, especially as a quarterback. You got to get a chance to learn a language, learn a new offense, you know, learn all those things on how to be a pro, and you're behind, you know, a guy like Aikman. You know, you never know. Okay, I mean, look at Matt Cassel, who sat behind Brady and then got, you know, went free agency, and then Garoppolo. I mean, these guys, it takes time to learn, and, you know, so some guys, they don't think they're going to be, you know, the top five, top ten pick, and then they end up turning out to be pretty good players.
Gino Toretta is with us. All right, enough about your draft experience, and we're also out of time. But now I got to ask you the cursory questions because you watch a lot of college football with your Touchdown Radio. Who is, in your opinion, the best quarterback available in this draft?
The guys that I like, I like Murray and I like Haskins. What I've seen of Locke, it was when he was younger, but I saw a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers, and you're not winning that way. But I like Haskins size wise, you know, athlete, and could throw a touch, and he could spin it, and he'd be the guy that, at least in this draft, that I'd be building around.
And, Gino, with all the talks of Arizona taking Kyler Murray, who you do like, Rosen still being there, drafted number 10 last year, can you see Rosen, and we compared him in the first segment, to a Jared Goff, where Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher was terrible, and then Jared Goff gets McVay, and he balls out, he goes to the Super Bowl. How hard is that? Can Rosen do that, or are we building a narrative that's unattainable?
I think he can do it. I think physically, I thought he was better than Sam Darnold when he came out. I just, Channing, not having been around the kid, and there's a lot of questions about the leadership and things like that, and you know as well as I do, I think we probably just went through it with the Dolphins just now with a guy of, man, the guy under center has got to be your ringleader. Whether that's taking the boys to pizza, taking them out for beers after practice, whatever, he's got to be the guy, offensively, defensively, you got to have that guy's back. And I think you had a team that didn't have the quarterback's back in the last few years with the Dolphins. And I don't know if that's similar with Rosen, because Rosen has all the abilities in the world to be a star. I'm just – my question is, are there enough of those other issues to where he's never going to get a team – you know, to follow him lock, stock, and barrel. And I'll tell you, like my rookie year, Jim McMahon was our starter at Minnesota. Jim McMahon used to throw for 150 yards, and we'd win the game. Mac got hurt probably 6 or 7 games in, and Sean Salisbury came in, who was the backup. He'd throw for 350, and we'd lose. And I'm like, man, how does this – I mean, our offense is just ripping it up. It's, you know what I mean? It's just it's something about a guy when he has that leadership ability, and guys are following him, and guys are going to do whatever it takes, and he's, you know, they know he's going to do whatever it takes. That produces, you know, a winning team and a winning organization.
And you're saying he has that, or he doesn't have that?
Rosen?
Yeah.
I question that, because those were his questions coming out of college. And even now, I'm like, well, if they take Murray one, they're going to try to shop him. But for teams to be saying, I'm not giving up more than a third, I mean, ability-wise, let me say this. If he was in the draft this year, ability-wise, he'd be one of the top two guys again.
Yeah,
so there's got to be something that we're not – I'm not privy to having not been around him, and that's the only thing I question with Rosen.
And I've heard a lot – that's the narrative on Rosen, like his leadership, his communication's tough, and I can attest to it because Chad Pennington, that year 08 he came in, everybody knew Chad Pennington could not throw a ball over 40 yards, but he brought us to his house, his leadership, going to ask the defensive players, hey, guys, how did you see this play? Because I saw it differently. You saw him take that leadership role with offense and on the defensive side of the ball, and that's the only quarterback I ever played with that would come to us and ask us questions from the defensive standpoint.
And it translated to a playoff berth.
Yes.
Yeah, it translates to victory. You had his back. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? If you were out in the bar and somebody was messing with him, you had his back. And most, you know how it is. It's like the offensive guys stick together, defensive guys. But the quarterback, he better be able to go hang with the D linemen, the linebackers, the DBs, the O-line, everybody on the team. And they better know he's the guy. And that's when you have the guy you want under center to lead your team.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, quickly on the way out. Carlito's Way, great movie or no?
God, I think so. That was a long time ago, though, wasn't it?
Benny Blanco from the Bronx. Carlito's Way is a great movie, right?
Yeah, it was 25 years ago.
I understand that.
It was a good storyline.
It was a great movie.
Good storyline.
I mean, it was a great movie.
Nothing like Chevy Chase and European Vacation or, you know.
I don't even think that's the best vacation movie. The original Vacation is the best vacation movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a beauty, Clark.
That's right. Oh, that's what you texted me yesterday. All right, Gino Toretta. Thanks, Gino.
See you guys.
Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner. I do love draft week. It's fascinating. The stories are fascinating. Because I always figured, oh, he kind of expected to go in the seventh round. He's like, no, you're freaking right. I'm mad. I was the Heisman Trophy winner.
The funniest thing is that I think there's more upset guys on draft night than happy guys.
I guess you're right.
Because if you're in the top 10, you should have went first pick. If you're in the first round, you should have went first pick. If you go seventh round, you should have went third round.
Yeah. Crazy.
I think the thought of the draft, as we talk to people year to year, the thought of the draft is different from the players to the spectators.
Don't forget our draft party this year, Thursday night, Dave and Buster's. Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. We're going to do our show live there. Now, if you listen to this radio station, we'll be broadcasting from Dolphins headquarters in Davie, from Hard Rock Stadium, and then, of course, our main show, Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. We want you to come on out and hang out with us, and we're going to carry all the picks on the air, and then you'll have in-depth coverage of the Dolphins pick on Thursday. It's all presented by Northern Tool and Equipment. Visit northerntool.com for locations. Sponsored by 4-Wheel Parts. Check them out at 4WP.com and Dave and Buster's. Eat, drink, play, watch. And by 954Cool.com, keeping Broward cool. But we want you to join us, Dave and Buster's in Hollywood on Thursday night.
Radio.com.
So, Valero watched Carlito's Way. Now, I don't think the Rosala version of I Love Music is the one they use in Carlito's Way.
Rosalia. It is, though, because I saw the soundtrack.
It is?
Yeah.
It's not Rosalia,
yes,
by the way.
Is.
No, it's not.
It's for Carlito's Way. It's a Latin movie, two L's.
No, but her name is Rosala.
Rosalia.
We were going through this, man. Does a good storyline or acting make a movie?
It was an awful movie.
Okay.
Awful.
Carlito's Way is not an awful movie. Stop it.
The plot line was amazing. The story was beautiful. But the acting was a C minus.
No.
Yes.
Storyline was good. I'll give it that. But yeah, the acting was terrible.
I'm Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Oh, no. I get it. I just think somebody else could have done, even delivered that line better.
Who's that, John Leguizamo?
Yeah, he has like a little smirk to him. It's not good.
You know what? I want to ask Hawk this because he is, you take strong opinions on movies. What makes a movie, the story or the acting?
Oh, I do think it's a combination of both. I think there's certain movies that if they didn't star X, it wouldn't be as good. I maintain like Training Day. If it wasn't Denzel in that role.
If it was Tracy Morgan.
Right. I wasn't going that far off the board, but you know what I mean? Like there's certain guys where you're like, he makes the movie.
Yeah.
He makes the movie's great, but he makes the movie. Carlito's Way, I think Pacino is great in it.
He's the only one. Only one that's great.
I think John Leguizamo is great in it.
He had like two scenes.
But he stole those scenes. The fat guy, Porcel.
He's the Is that Porcel
or Salso? Yeah, he's the... Well, his real name, I think, is Porcel.
Salso was brutal. I don't have your money.
He was great.
He was slapping the finger. Your money's over there.
He was namby-pamby guy that, you know, he wanted to take something, but he didn't have the cojones to really be a bad guy. And I thought that movie is great.
Falero brings it up, and he had a great point, and I don't say that very often. But if the acting's terrible on a great storyline... Where do you go with saying that movie's great?
I'm looking on tomato thing. What do you got? You always look at tomato.
Rotten tomatoes.
80%.
Yeah, that's not that good.
That's
it's not a
great.
No, it's not a great movie.
It's certified fresh. It's what it says. and the audience score, I'm sorry, that was the tomatometer is 80%. The audience score, 91%.
Yeah, because old people like you love that movie back in
the
day.
Oh, yeah, a lot of old people use tomato cans.
Tomatometer?
Tomatometer.
That's what you're going off
That's
of?
What it says. Look. It's the tomatometer.
Oh, you read it right, too. Never mind. I apologize.
It's the tomatometer.
There are
Oh, my God, I totally forgot that Sean Penn's in the movie as Kleinfeld.
He was okay.
He was okay.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest role in movie history almost.
I love Sean Penn so much.
I can't. Great actor. I can't get excited about this and really argue with you like I would like to because I'm still confused by it. Does the storyline overtake the acting or does the acting take over the storyline?
But now that I'm looking at it again, I think the acting is great. I think Sean Penn as Kleinfeld is great. I think Pacino as Carlito is great. I think John Leguizamo as Benny Blanco from the Bronx is great.
But we know you use great very loosely.
No, I don't.
You loosely use great.
I absolutely do not. Text it in. Carlito's Way, excellent or not. You called it terrible?
Awful.
Awful. That's crazy talk.
Because I think the storyline jumps it up to a B minus automatically.
Oh, I know.
Because the storyline was pretty good.
I watched the movie because of the storyline, because it was good. I wanted to see what happened, but it was just...
560-22, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Carlito's Way, is it great or awful? Don't give me in the middle. I'm going great. Falero's going awful. I'm going to tell you what everybody says when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.